If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, this moment is all we have and all we need. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and consciously feel the energy of your higher self, the soul, the Atma. Integrate. Feel it connect into the mind. Feel it connect into the brain. Feel it connect into the physical body and to flow through all of the nervous system. And see if you can sense the energy right into the toes. Very good. I'll take another deep breath with the same intention. And evoke and call forward that clear line of integration from the Atma into the Buddhi, the divine intellect, into the lower mind, and flooding throughout the body. And now I want you very consciously to build that connecting link between the Atma, the Buddhi, and the Manas. The Atma is your spirit, I am self. The Buddhi could be called your Christ consciousness or your soul. The Manas is the part of the mind that thinks. So take a deep breath. And bring that golden line of energy from the Atma, Buddhi, Manas, integrate into the brain and into the physical body. Excellent. You see, each time that we do that, you're building what is called the Antahkarana, which is the connecting link that allows the inner instrument of contact and bridging to take place. We have to build that ourselves. That's how we come into integration and alignment with soul. That's how we become self-actualized and self-aware. So every time you visualize and intend that connection, every time you go in and out in soul travel, every time you consciously seek to connect with that higher part of yourself, you are building that connecting link. And that allows your whole personality to be flooded with the wisdom, the awareness, and the energy and vitality of your true self. That's how you fully occupy your human embodiment. So I use a very, very simple approach because it's something we can all do very easily with the breath, with our intention. If you can visualize, that's wonderful. If you can't, don't worry about it. We all breathe. We all have intention. So it's very simple for all of us to use this very, very simple technique of coming into divine alignment and attunement. Now we're going to do three hues, H-U. It's a hue. It's called the love song to God, but it also resonates that frequency of the nameless, formless, it of itself, that aspect of God that is transcendental to anything we could think of, imagine, conceptualize, or mess with. We can't create that aspect of God in an image that suits our personal, our personality proclivities. We can't project on that part any of our human shenanigans. That part that is the divine, ultimate divine source is nameless, formless, attributeless. It is absolutely pure and is everything in everything all the time. And that's all there is. But it's beyond contamination by our mind. And so that's why we like to chant Hue, because that chant takes you beyond the phenomenal world of creation, takes you beyond the mind, and very, very few people have heard the Hue, except those in very sacred inner circles of initiation. In Africa, in Asia, Arabia, different places, this is a very sacred word or mantra that's given only in secret initiation in the oral tradition. So it's been released now for public use, and it's just now starting to catch a momentum. But I want you to know that until recently, it was kept as a secret, sacred mantra, because it was so, so powerful. So when you chant Hue, you don't chant it with any desire to manipulate God or to force an outcome or to do any of the things that we sometimes chant for. It's simply a releasing of your heart in loving devotion to the very source of all sources in whom we live and move and have our being. And it's the pure heart of the child that sings to its origin, if you will. So take a deep breath, and we'll chant Hue. Notice how that feels. Very good. It brings you into present moment nowness. And it completely stills the mind. So if you want a very simple meditative practice, chant Hue out loud, as long as it feels like it wants to be chanted. And when it's completed for you at that time, you'll notice that there's a shift, and you just naturally cease. You sing it in your own natural voice. If you're with a group, you'll try to harmonize as best you can. When there's disharmony in a group that's chanting the Hue, it's because somebody's out of sync. So you try to always come into sync and harmonization with what's present. The big secret that is now becoming more and more obvious to us, that we need to come into cooperation and harmony with that which is. That's the natural flow of life. Everything flows in harmony, except man. And that's because we have the monkey mind. But, not that we're monkeys, but the mind behaves like a mad monkey. So the Hue is a wonderful way to begin to tame that restless mind and bring it into present moment. So when you're meditating, using this as a spiritual practice, you will chant the Hue until it feels like it wants to stop. And then you take it inwardly and you chant it inwardly. And then you stop and you listen in the center of your head for the sound of God. whatever you hear, listen. If there's outer sounds, you listen to them. Gradually, the focus on the outer sounds will draw you into the inner sound. And at some point, you just totally transcend this world altogether. You completely transcend the awareness of this world. Sometimes it looks like you fall asleep, but there's part of you that's awake. Sometimes the spiritual travelers will put you asleep. That way, they've gotten your mind out of the way and they can work with you more deeply on the deeper levels. So whatever happens after you finish that chanting, just let it be. Now, you will never find a simpler approach to God, or a more effective one, I would have to say, than this. Just chant a hue, listen inwardly for the sound, the mind starts to come back in, start chanting again silently, and when you need energy, when you need to suddenly be present, when you need to handle something that's causing you worry or agitation, use the hue, and it will dissolve that negative energy. So that's one of the greatest gifts you could be given, and one of the greatest gifts that you could share with your family, your children, your loved ones, because we all need something simple today that will connect us and work effectively to keep us centered here and now and clear. So this moment is all we have, and it's all we need. Take it into a little bit of a visualization that we've used before. But visualize a sea of consciousness. We could call it the sea of samsara, because it's the oceanic collective consciousness, which is impermanent and continually changing. The ocean, or even a lake. I used to live at a lakeside. I noticed every day the temperament, the complexion, the appearance of that lake was never the same on any 2 days. And obviously the ocean is the same. If you live near the ocean, observe it. And liken it to that sea of consciousness in which we all are immersed as so many units of consciousness or souls. We are all immersed in a sea of samsara. Before you awaken, there's a sense of being isolated, like you were encapsulated within that sea, not aware of being one with the sea. But after you begin to awaken spiritually, you become aware that you are that sea, that you're not only in the sea is part of you, and all the things that arise within that oceanic collective consciousness is your own self. But before you realize that it's your own self, you begin to see these different waves as different people, as different experiences, as different things. But the more you integrate and unify within your own consciousness, the more you see that you are that ocean of consciousness. And you learn to observe the storms of emotions that arise, and the chaos that seems to prevail during those storms. And then you observe as there's a sudden quieting, and all is calm, but only for a brief time. And then there are the ebbs and the flows of the tides, which are like the moods that pass, and the different, let's say, phases of passing fancy and the different things that cause our moods and our attitudes to fluctuate moment by moment. And we watch the advancing and the receding. And we notice it's very similar to the intake and releasing of our breath. If you become a very keen observer of nature, you'll notice the in-breathing and the out-breathing of everything. Everything is harmoniously flowing along certain universal patterns that prevail in every kingdom of nature. And so you awaken within the sea of ever-changing consciousness, the sea of ever-shifting energies, the sea of samsara. And you begin to want to find that which is constant, that which changes not. And to find that, I've just given you an exercise, which is chanting the hue and listening for the inner sound current. And when you do that, that energy of that hue causes you to rise above the ocean of collective consciousness into what is called awareness. And awareness is simply here and now, this moment. And it's completely peaceful. You don't have any of the agitations of the lower mind when you're in awareness. For example, if any of you have meditated to the point that you've lost all sensation or experience of the outer world, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've moved into higher awareness or soul consciousness or soul transcendence. These are all words that describe the same thing. But that's how you die daily to this world. That's how you stop the world. That's how you exit the world, which exists as an interpretation based on your own experiences, but resides nowhere apart from your mind. So that's a simple way to exit the world. When you go to sleep at night and you go into the deep dream state, where is the world? Where is the world when you've had a catastrophic accident and you don't remember a thing? Suddenly, 2 or 3 days later, you might awaken and ask what happened. But notice how we always exit the mind, which is part of the brain and the body, when you are lifted to another state, whether it's through hypnosis, deep meditation, being anesthetized before surgery, being shocked so much that you're in shock, all of those states arrest the mind and you transcend into the soul, or into the astral or subtle, one of the subtle realms of our bodies. Now, when you can live in that awareness, you're in bliss. When you're in the higher consciousness of the Atma, the Buddhi, you are in those divine states that we call Christ consciousness in the case of the Buddhi, or God consciousness in the case of the Atma. But both of those states, you lose, I would say, the belief in the world, the belief in time-directed events, and their power over you is broken. So that's why we practice mindfulness. That's why we practice meditation. That's why right now across the world, people are studying consciousness. They want to know, where does memory come from? Well, I told you several past seminars that the memory, what we call memory, is part of the causal body. The causal body, by some traditions, is another body for another word that describes the soul. The way I usually describe the causal body as the seedbed of your karma. It's those ungerminated seeds that you've carried over from a previous incarnation that you still have to live out and clear or bring to balance in some manner. That's your job. But the causal body becomes completely subsumed and integrated and dissolved in the higher awareness. As you become stabilized in the self, the lower levels become absorbed and drawn into those higher levels so that you no longer, for example, have an astral body. The astral body would be your unfinished emotional dramas that you've yet to resolve within yourself. But really, there's no such thing as an astral body. There's really no such thing as an astral realm apart from your own use and abuse of your emotions. So once you come into clearance and integration with the higher energies in your emotional body, the emotional body dissolves up into the causal body, and the causal body into the Atma. So everything is gradually cleared and absorbed into the higher energies. That's often why we use the phrase, when we're clearing something, that we would ask that the negativity be returned back into the nothingness. Because really, there's no negativity apart from our belief in it. It is purely a matter of energy that either works for you or doesn't. And the only energy that will ever consistently always work for you is love. Bear that in mind. If you want to be right all the time, choose the loving. That's it. Simple, simple, simple. So, our topic, this moment, contains everything. Be aware, this moment contains everything, the whole quantum field of potentiality, everything, every state of consciousness, every type of vibration, every shift possible within the ocean of consciousness, every dimension, every plane, everything without exception is present with you this moment. Be aware of that. Notice it. This moment, realize that you need nothing. This moment is pristine, pure, uncomplicated. Just breathe in and breathe out. And be in this moment. So that's what we have that is constant. Only this moment. So take that in, if you will. This very moment contains everything, every possibility and potential. Individually, it means that you have at hand exactly what you truly require. Everything that you require to make this, to make, I would say, the maximum use of this moment is present with you. How do you use the maximum moment? Or use the moment to the maximum? It's being present with whatever is at that moment and handling it with as much love, as full attention as you can possibly bring to bear. When you do that, you are in complete God consciousness. See, God is always present in the moment. God is present in this moment. You lose awareness of that when you go into the mind. Just watch that. So whatever it is, whatever is at hand in this moment, within reach, recognize that's what you need. It's right here where you are. If it's not present, trust me, you do not need it. Don't trust me, trust your own experience. Better always to trust yourself. So collectively, that's also the case. Within the present moment of every nation, every civilization, and every cycle is exactly what is needed at that time, at that moment. So this present moment contains it all, and it's all the reality we can truly call our own. Be aware of that. This moment contains all the reality that you are capable of being conscious of in this moment. So this present moment contains all of the reality that you have present access to. And that will keep expanding as you awaken more and more fully beyond the mind into what you have always been, the pure Satchitananda, the pure awareness, the pure existence, the pure bliss of just being completely whole with nothing lacking. So where are you this moment? Notice there was no mind. There was mind when I asked you, but when I said this moment, mind stopped, right? That's how you stop the mind, this moment. You snap it to attention. So what is at hand this moment? Well, obviously, you're listening to me. That's all you need to be doing this moment. What constitutes your reality this moment? Well, you can be aware that you're listening. You can notice that there's something that's listening through your ears. And that something that's listening through your ears is timeless. It's not in time. It's not in the mind. Do you notice that when you're in the mind, you can't listen? When you're in the mind, your mind will be wandering while I'm speaking. You won't be listening. You won't really be hearing what I'm saying. Or you'll have a little fragment here and a little fragment there. That's how the mind robs you of life. A present existence, a present peace, a present bliss. Notice that. The Eightfold Path of yoga, one of the early prerequisites to where you can eventually move into true meditation, is dharana. Dharana is one pointed, focused attention to this moment. And until you develop that, it's very difficult for you to go into the deeper states of consciousness. So be aware of present moment. And what if this moment was your last? It will at some point in terms of this body and this personality. Sai Baba says it's like death is like a cameraman that's always standing ready to take your photograph, like a paparazzi. You never know when he's going to, you know, take that photograph, so you always have to be ready for that photograph, that flash point. When we dissolve from this dream of samsara and we're born, hopefully, into the God realm of pure awareness, and then we don't have to reincarnate again. So you want to always prepare for that second when it's your last, and not to live a life that has lots of unfinished messiness to it. You have to learn to live impeccably. Discipline yourself so that you come into alignment with what needs in this moment to be done and what doesn't need to be done. And you'll find that almost everything you think you have to do is time-wasting and totally pointless. We've made our lives so complicated. Now, what if this moment could be frozen in time? Ponder that, if you will. You would have only this moment forever. So we want to live so that we have that present fullness with us in each moment, which we can have if we just drop the stories that we keep making up and bringing forward instead of reality. We've got our lack stories and our becoming stories and our past history stories and our future projection stories. And it's all just so much mind mess. So where are you now? You live truly, not in time at all, but moment by moment by moment. So to truly come alive is to be fully present this moment. I want you to notice something. Worry is never now. Worry is never now. Notice that. Every time you worry, become aware that you have stepped out of present moment into time. And time and mind, lower mind, are one and the same. Time, lower mind, and ego are one and the same. So every form of worry, unhappiness, stress, anxiousness, is the ego, or the mind, or stepping out of present moment. So just whenever you feel unhappy or stressed or worried or anxious, train yourself to stop and notice how you've stepped out of the present moment. You can always handle the present moment. I don't care what it is. It could be the worst news in the world, the worst tragedy, the whatever, or the most pressing schedule, or whatever it is. But if you just stay present with what's before you and complete it to the best of your ability, that's enough. And when you bring your full attention to bear on whatever it is that's at hand, you bring the fullness of the energy of spirit, which then enables you to transcend the stress and the difficulty and the efforting, and you can flow through that action moment to moment in what feels like effortless grace, effortless ease. But you notice when you sit down to do something and it looks like it's very, very difficult and complicated, you start to run that scenario in your mind and you begin to build out of this very small moment this big, ginormous thing that you extend into the future and you extend into all of the what it's going to take to complete it. And you're tired before you've even begun. You're exhausted, you're depressed, you're wanting to procrastinate, delay, do anything but handle what's in front of you. That's working out of the ego. That's working out of that lower mind. Notice when you do that. Stop. And remind yourself, this moment, one step at a time. One moment at a time. That's how you transcend time. Do you know that? Notice that when you have transcended the sense of time and the lower mind, time passes. It's like sometimes you sit down to meditate and hours have passed and it felt like 10 minutes or less. Or you're doing something you really love and the day passes so fast. You transcend time when you're fully present. Another big key. You transcend everything that upsets you by staying present in this moment. You have transcended time. And you're living in present grace and ease. You're in harmony. Because only the human being has the ego mind. Other kingdoms of nature haven't evolved to the point that they have a mind, a conscious mind, conscious self-awareness. So that's why the human being is usually upset for some reason, some nonsense reason that the human has invented. So consistently remind yourself to stay present right here and right now, knowing that everything in the moment that you need is at hand. You have the focus, the energy, the strength, the creativity, the inspiration, the grace of God, the wind at your back, whatever, in this moment. You can handle this moment. Whatever is needed comes in that moment and is at hand. You can trust that. So you see, you take care of the future by taking care of each moment that's before you. Now, if you live in a sloppy way and you procrastinate and you put things off and you don't handle the present moment, you create for yourself a future mess. There's no doubt about it. So depending on how you handle the moment depends on how your future will unfold. Because out of each moment, the future is being created. It doesn't exist otherwise. There's no future. The future is birthed out of moment by moment. So you take care of that future by taking care of present moment business. Okay, is that clear enough? So the way you bring your full attention to whatever you are involved with moment by moment, you are thus being the most efficient. You're making the most efficient use, the maximal use of that particular moment, because you have brought all of your attention to bear on it. And as, again, when you bring your full attention to bear on anything, you have called forward the fullness of the Spirit with you and with your action. So this is what constitutes real mindfulness, real vipassana, real zen, real yoga, real spiritual practice, real awareness. Anything else is probably a mind trip that you're self-indulging in that isn't really going to take you beyond the world and your worries at all. So everything you want will come from the practice of present moment, being fully present moment by moment. So your yoga is your life, lived from present moment awareness. Yoga means to be yoked in union with the divine. That's how you stay present with God. That's how you stay yoked to God. That's how you stay conscious of your Godhood. It's by living from present moment awareness. So ponder this, if you will. You have only this moment, ever. Where are you now? You live truly not in time at all. Not in time at all. But moment by moment. If we had never been indoctrinated into time, I don't think we would see aging. I don't think we would even have death. Because the whole process of aging and death depends on the belief that you were born and the belief that you're going to die. Doesn't it? I had a friend one time that was born in a village in India. And they never kept records, hospital records or anything like that in some villages, not even today. But in our modern world, you know, we have the birth certificate and the death certificate, and we celebrate our birthdays and all of that, but we're constantly being reminded of time, the passing of time and the aging of the body and all of that, until we bought into it as a fact. But it's not a fact at all. We are, in fact, immortal. We've never been born. We shall never die. We shall never cease to exist. We've never even been here in this world except in our imagination. And that's what we come to realize when we wake up. So anyway, my friend was born in a village in India not too long ago. Had no idea when he was born. He had no idea of his birthday or date. Or how old he was. And I think that's really refreshing. Of course, it's impossible in our modern age, and given we're, you know, you and I are born in the 20th century. We're in the 21st century now. So it's hard for us to imagine what it would be like to live in a world without clocks, without constant reminders of the passings of time. I woke up this morning, and the first thing that came in my mind was the sands of time, the shifting sands of time. I started meditating on time. It's like, oh. You see, in Sanskrit, the word for time is kal, K-A-L. What do we call the negative power? Kal, the kal power. What is another definition for K-A-L or kal? Black. Black. Dark, time, death, all synonyms of call, for the call power, the negative power, the binding power, the limiting power. You could call it also the refining power, because in time there's always struggle, there's always strife, there's always worry and agitation and trying to make time for this and make time for that, or kill time or waste time or pass time. So we're so time-oriented that it has invested us into the belief that we are locked in time, in a body, and then the mind keeps us out of present moment, and so we're lost in the labyrinth of time and effort and strife and worry and becoming and fear and all of that. Can you see? Can you see this clearly? If you see this clearly, you can step free of it. You can come fully alive by being present this moment. Let me give you some reference points so that you could find those times when you were fully present, okay? The moment you fall in love. Or that moment when you kiss a loved one before they head off to war. Or your loved one is taking their last breath. Or is headed into the operation room for a risky surgery. Or you're in the midst of birthing that baby and pushing it out. or when you're in the middle of a collision. Like time stops. In my experience, time stops. Or in the midst of an orgasm. You are fully present in that moment. How 100% present you are. How aware. How fully present and alive to that moment you are. And these are examples which for us are frozen in time because we can recall them vividly. Those were moments when we were truly alive and present. That's why in the East there's a great deal of training in some areas, not all throughout the East, in the art of consciously leaving the body, which is called Mahasamadhi, the conscious exit of the body in the transcendental state of higher awareness. And so they don't experience death, but simply the falling away of the illusory form that seemed to confine them in time and pain and struggle. And they're suddenly free of that. So when you realize that everything, including your body, is a thought form, that you, with the cooperation of other entities that are part of this process, have created in thought matter, you realize that the passing of a thought form, i.e. your body, means absolutely nothing when you're enlightened. And so we want to be conscious and present at every moment, including when we pass from this dream, this nightmare, or even this happy dream, however your life is running, and you just see it pass away as a thought form, as a cloud, as something that no longer serves a purpose. You need to expand beyond that imaginary confined of a body, an imagination of a mind. Imaginary things that you've gathered around you and mistake to be yours. You live in the unlimited creation in which everything has come from you and everything shall return to you. And there's nothing that is not you and nothing that does not belong to you because it has come from you as your own emanation of love. That's the higher awareness. That's what you awaken to. Are you attached to your silly body, your silly, silly house, your car, your clothes, your money, your bank accounts? How silly. That's like settling for a donut when you own the whole of the bakery franchises throughout the world. So we've got to get over this little petty personal me and mine birth and death-itis that we're all suffering from, and awaken in present moment. How hard can that be to stay present right now? Right now. If the mind makes you crazy, chant hue. It'll dissolve, and it'll like the hue so much, it'll leave you alone, it'll go and get attached to the hue. That's what you do to the mind. Get it attached to the sound current, and it'll leave you alone. So what happens to us is that we get lost and confused, worried and distressed when we get lost in time, in our mental concepts. People call me all the time. Well, fortunately, they don't call me all the time. That was some years ago. But people contact me often, or if they happen to get me by phone, which is practically impossible. Very often it's because they have a worry or a problem. But if they would realize that the worry and the problem is not present at that moment at all, it's a future thing that they're worried about, a future bill they have to pay, or a future demand that's going to be made upon them that's concerning them, or a future whatever, but it's not present now. I don't think I've ever had anybody call me on their deathbed. I don't think I've ever had anybody call me that had truly realized they were not their body and they were not their mind. No, I haven't. Thinking now, I've never had anybody call me that had a problem that was not in their mind, that was not a projection from present moment into the future, or related to a past grievance or hurt or offense. Because you see, the mind is never moment by moment. It is always future or past. It's either trying to escape the memories of the past, what somebody said or did or whatever, or to avoid something that they fear is going to happen in the future. But you see, you create the future by importing the past worries into the present moment, which then forms your future. Oh, I hope you can see this clearly. Ask God to help you. Ponder these things. Don't just listen to these seminars and go on to whatever's next, or haphazardly where you're doing 10 things and listening, you know, in the background. Owe yourself at least present moment awareness when you're being taught something that could set you free forever. Forever. Not just a moment palliative, momentary palliative. So the thing of it is, all of this mentalizing takes us out of present moment fullness of life, present moment peace, present moment contentment, present moment fulfillment, present moment joy. And most people live in these semi-conscious states all the time, and they consider it normal. They've never been reborn of the spirit into eternal life. What does that mean? That means the moment when, through evolution or sudden shock, one realizes they are not this body, they're not the brain, they're not their mental interpretations and concepts. And that produces such a radical transformation in how one sees life that from then on, one is no longer living in the same linear 3D world at all. One is still visible as the same person, but that person has been truly born again to the spiritual dimensions of reality beyond the mind. And it is inevitable. You know, it will happen to every person. Just as naturally as a caterpillar is destined to emerge as a butterfly, every human being is destined to emerge as fully aware divinity. So to get us in position to undergo this spiritual rebirth is what each of our current life situations is all about. And that's the reason there is so much pain and suffering, so much conflict, for that is what causes us to seek beyond this Maya world, this nightmare, for something more, something beyond. This Maya world of samsara is meant to cause us to struggle, because only by struggle to free ourselves will we, like the caterpillar, exit our cocoon and fly free in higher awareness. Like a butterfly. The only way. The only way. So, that is what you have to undertake if you want to be free. There's all those techniques out there. I don't think there are very many that I have not practiced and tried. But when I was initiated into the sound current by my teacher, John Roger, I learned what it was to truly exit the world. I truly experienced that transcendental state beyond the mind, beyond body consciousness, beyond the attachments and things of this world. And that sound current grabbed my antakarana, my inner consciousness, and pulled me into the heart of God consciously. And I realized that in highest truth, I had never left the heart of God. in highest truth, I had never left the heart of God. I'd simply been caught up in the mental labyrinth of time and struggle and efforting and identifying with the body and the mind and the circumstances. And you see, most people live this semi-unconscious state all the time and consider it normal. They just consider it normal. They never question it. Well, we're not taught to question it here in the West. We're just indoctrinated that this is the way it is. But I'm telling you, from the wisdoms of the East that I've gleaned through many, many years of being with the great avatar, Satya Sai Baba, and having the wonderful transcendental teachings of the sound current, the chanting of the hue, and being taught each day as I sit down to do my spiritual exercises, how to attune to the hue, the inner sound current, and to allow it to carry me beyond the mind into the glorious regions beyond thought and time and the material world. Those of you who are initiates as myself into the sound current know exactly what I'm talking about. Those of you who are not or on other paths which may have introduced to you the same experiences, because there's not just one way. What path you're following is the one that's best for you right now. You're where you are because that's what's best for you right now. So be right now with it and be present in the moment with your process, whatever it is. And know that you have all the resources you possibly could need to handle the moment. You know the story in the Bible where the Israelites were wandering around for 40 years in the wilderness on an 11-day trip. Had some karma to work out. They were given manna to eat every day by the extraterrestrials called angels or the presence of God at that time. And it came to them as little white flakes, kind of like little, I've seen it materialize in people's Bibles and stuff. So it looked like little white flakes. I don't know whether it was sweet or what it tasted like. But they were only allowed to keep enough for each day. And a double portion came to them on the eve of the Sabbath, because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So on the eve of the Sabbath, which would be, in their case, Friday, there was a double manna that was given. But if they tried to hoard it for the next day, it would rot. If they tried to gather more than the need of the day, it would rot. And that was the way that the higher consciousness of the beings that were guiding the Israelites at that time, it was the way they were being shown, you don't need to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself, as Jesus said in the Bible. So the needs of the day are all you need to be concerned with. Those of tomorrow will appear, because God knows what you need. Everything in nature is supplied with what it needs. Notice that. Notice that. Sai Baba tells us that nature is the best preacher and life is the best teacher. And he also told us that there was no one to tell us about God, nobody, that nature itself would proclaim the glory of God from every rock, every flower, every blade of grass, every breeze, every tree, every animal. And I've tested that. I've gone out in nature and talked to trees and animals and flowers. And I even talked to the grass. I asked the grass I tuned into the grass to find out how it felt when it was being mowed. Because, you know, I interpreted it in a human way. It's like, oh, it's a bad thing that's being cut. It must hurt. But when I looked deeply into the grass as it was being mowed, I saw the little Devic elementals dancing for joy, delighting in the energy and the experience of the cutting, the mowing, nobody was suffering. Everybody was taking that within the harmony of which all nature flows as just what happens when you're grass. You get mowed. None of the grass seemed to be offended at that. So the point I'm making is that if no one told you anything about anything, that which is divine within you would awaken anyway, and you would awaken, as I did, within the heart of God, realizing that in highest truth, you'd never left the heart of God. And where is the heart of God? It's wherever that moment contains love and nothing else. It's that moment of love that is the heart of God. Don't think it's out there in the sky somewhere, or in a throne or a realm, whatever you want to label it. Do you want to know a secret? There are no realms. There are no dimensions. There's no separation of time and space whatsoever. They're all made up as concepts of the mind. There's no otherness that exists apart from love. Everything is love. We make all these names and concepts and labels. They're all hogwash. You don't need a single label. It'd be better if we could be like Jesus suggested, like a little child. We don't know what anything's for. The problem is we think we know what things are for, and that's our big self-deception. People go to school and they get all these letters behind their name. And Sai Baba said, yes, the more letters, the more fetters. The more you study, the more you think you know something. And then when you really realize how you totally don't know anything at all, you have to unlearn all those things you took so many decades to learn, don't you? You got to let it all go. It's all mental lumber. It's all stuff. All imagination. So, okay, what do we need? It's at hand. That includes what you need to know in the moment if you're making a decision that's going to affect your future. You still have to make use of the moment to make that decision, to sign that contract, to agree to that whatever. It's always in the moment. In the moment. Moment by moment, stay present with your process. Complete and leave it and move to the next. When you go to sleep at night, die to that day. Offer it all to God and say, you handle it. Like our last week on surrender. You handle it. It was your doing through me. I'm just your functionary here. I'm just your instrument. So I'm done with the day. I'm going to merge in you. I don't have anything I have to return to. I don't have any commitments or promises that I have to come back on the next day to fulfill. I'm done. I'm complete. That's how we need to live each day. Because we'll be held to our commitments, you see. We will hold ourselves to our commitments. So don't make commitments when you don't have the guarantee you're going to be able to keep them. Always keep space around you. Don't let anyone or anyone's agenda confine you in their karmic whirlpool. Don't allow it. Don't allow anyone to possess your right to be in this moment. So I really pray that the Holy Spirit will solidify this understanding in your consciousness, because it's the answer to all of your worries, all of your anxieties, all of your problems, all your unhappiness, all of your discontent, every single bit of it is unnecessary. Use this moment with love, with your full focus of attention. Live it with God. And watch what a beautiful future unfolds without your manipulating it at all. Just be aware this moment. So, let's complete this seminar and go out chanting three Anai hues. Anai is a vibration that opens the heart. When you bring it up into an Ani, it takes in the crown chakra too, so you can chant it Anai or Ani. And it activates a very heartfelt, empathetic energy that connects you with all people and all life. So it's the chant of empathy. So let's take a deep breath and chant three Anai hues. Anai hues. Anai hues. Anai hues. And we could close our show by reminding ourselves that the blessings already are. Everything is present. Your full covenant of divine inheritance and blessing is placed with you now. And so we bless each one of you that you could awaken to this moment of absolute perfection and fullness of being. Light, love, and grace to each one of you. Namaste.